Welcome back to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry on KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial, on the internet, everywhere on this planet of ours. Today's really fantastic show is dealing with PTSD in Africa. We're going to be doing a series of shows looking at PTSD from a number of perspectives. Today we're going to do a bit of an overview to look at what is PTSD, how is it treated, how is it especially being applied in Africa with an incredible program that's really been set up to make a huge difference in one of the most difficult psychological areas of anything, post-traumatic stress disorder. Today, I will introduce my co-host, my famous co-host, Rob Hubler.
Hey there.
And he will introduce our great guest today.
Well, it's great to be here today, and we have with us David Shapiro. David is, I've known David some years ago here in Fairfield. David was a professor or an instructor out on the campus for a number of years, and David now is in Africa with, I think it's called Africa PTS Relief. Is that correct, David?
African PTSD Relief.
Right, right. And let's just get started. And why don't you tell us a little bit about you and a little bit about the PTSD, Africa PTSD Relief.
Very good. In 2011, we had the idea to test for PTSD in Africa. At that point in time, I was working with Dr. Lucien Mansour, who was administering 8 countries around the world, and 2 of them were Democratic Republic of Congo and Gabon.
What do you mean administering?
He was in the TM organization. There are international administrators, called Rajas, who are administrating administer eight different countries for administering the TM program.
Okay, so to look at application of this technique that has been found to be incredibly useful in addressing post-traumatic stress disorder.
That's right. So okay. We, in the process of doing this project, we found 100,000 Congolese refugees in Uganda. So we decided to teach a number of them transcendental meditation at the same time, see how transcendental meditation affected post-traumatic stress disorder.
What was your background to be able to look into this?
Tell us a little bit about yourself, David.
I have a bachelor's degree in chemistry from Carleton College. I have also taught in the Ayurveda technical training program, set it up and taught it. So there's some background in health. And I've done administration of large projects around the United States, including I was the ballot access director for the Natural Law Party from 2006 to 1996 to 2000. So I've got some administration background, some health background, and I'm familiar with the Transcendental Meditation program.
I see. And just for those that are not familiar, an Ayurvedic program is an integrative natural health program looking at different ways to treat mind, body, spirit, etc. And the Natural Law Party was actually a party trying to get established in this country to politically make a difference as well.
Right. So there's some administrative background and some health background. I didn't have nearly the science background, the experience in statistics or modeling or PTSD to properly run a project by myself. So I invited Dr. Fred Travis to help design the study with me, and Dr. Brian Reese, who had 4 tours of duty in Afghanistan and Iraq. He's a colonel and a medical doctor who has treated many, many people with PTSD. So as a team, we designed and ran the the research project in coordination with a team of organizers and TM teachers in Uganda. We invited a number of Congolese refugees with a high level of PTSD. We tested them before anyone learned anything. In other words, it's called a baseline. And they all had the average was a very high level of symptoms of PTSD. And then we divided them in two groups, randomly assigned them in two groups, and we started, at that point, we taught one of the two groups transcendental meditation, and the other group was a control group.
Let's back up, David, excuse me for interrupting, but let's back up just a little bit. Tell us a little bit about what the causes of PTSD are from your perspective.
I'm sorry, could you ask the question again?
Yeah, what are the causes of PTSD?
Oh, that's a very good question. It's often thought in the United States, because the military is getting a lot of attention for PTSD, that PTSD is a war-related mental health problem. Actually, post-traumatic stress disorder can come from war, but in general it comes from any violence, sexual abuse, any violent community, anywhere around the world can be a source of that, or natural disasters. So there's a wide range of causes for post-traumatic stress disorder, only one of them being war.
And so the Congolese refugees have been through a war-torn area, as well as a number of other traumatic events have happened to them. Is that what you found?
Yes, that's exactly it. They're the victims of war. So most of them were victims of war, some other personal things.
Well, there's also, and is perpetrated, and given a warning to younger viewers here, listeners, there's also a lot of sexual violence.
Sexual violence is a major cause in South Africa. In another testing we did, we just completed or about to submit, 80% of the girls who entered this bachelor's program had reported sexual abuse.
Wow.
And so part of the act of war of one of these, and it's true in a number of countries right now where there's war, is that they're using sexual violence against women as a way to intimidate the culture and to destroy the culture from the inside out.
Now, that's absolutely the case. It's a way of the women are shunned after that. They're, in these traditional cultures, if a woman has been abused that way, her whole family rejects her. So it's a way of really taking apart a culture.
Yeah, and so that's what it's designed. Sexual violence is not about sex. It's about a way to destroy people from the inside out, and to as well as from the outside in, because from the societal perspective, like you said, the family starts shunning the person. There is not only internal shame, but externally they are shunned and ostracized. And then the children are from a war thing, and so then the children have violence against them. I'm going to go through a little bit about PTSD, but I want you to finish. I'm sorry to interrupt you here.
No, it's really important. What we'll talk about later is that the problem of PTSD is not a problem of warring nations. A third of the African nations have been at war. We're talking about a massive pandemic of PTSD in Africa. And although one-third of the countries have been at war, in those countries it's a very, very high level of PTSD everywhere. Even in South Africa, even in countries that haven't been at war, because of sexual abuse, because of violence, because of natural disasters, it's a pandemic in almost every country in Africa.
What is your estimate on the number of people?
Let's first explain what PTSD is. And then we'll
okay,
right
good.
Back
yeah, you're right, right.
So people have a clear idea of what the real problem is. But it's a little bit interesting how we come to our estimate, and we come to a conservative estimate of 100 million people.
Wow.
So let's first look at maybe Dr. Scott Terry, who's a psychologist, would like to explain briefly or overview PTSD.
All right, so let me do a couple. Let me just read out of the DSM-5. Sorry for if this will bore people for a moment. By the way, you're listening to KRUU FM 100.1, and you could email us anytime you want at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. .com?
Right, that's right.
.com? Yep. All righty. And you could contact us anytime. And if you have any more questions for the wonderful work that David Shapiro is doing, you could contact us as well, and we will put you in touch with him. It's an amazing campaign that you guys are trying to do, and it's just great work. David, how can people get a hold of you to find out more?
They can find out more at our website, www.ptsdreliefnow.org, www.ptsdreliefnow.org.
So they'll be able to find out more about PTSD in general, watch videos, hear interviews, read about this, find out how they can contribute and support the fantastic work that you're doing, correct?
That's right. And we have, it's, what's also important is that we really have a number of projects. We have 40 schools across Africa that are ready to learn, to get relief through transcendental meditation, which is a very, very, is shown to be most likely the most rapid, effective, and cost-effective approach in on the continent or anywhere for reducing PTSD.
And I've certainly seen that many times in the people that I treat. So I am not somebody who teaches transcendental meditation, just to be clear. I am somebody who has utilized this technique, this tool, to make a huge difference in a life of many people with trauma. I am also a trauma specialist, and I could personally say clinically that I've found a huge dramatic impact on people's lives by utilizing this tool. But let's get more into that in a minute. But first, let me give you a basic overview of PTSD. In DSM-5, it's separated a little bit differently than it was before.
Tell everybody what DSM-5
is.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Yes, the terms. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual, and this is the 5th edition. It's essential that people understand the rules of the road. And just like when you're driving a car, you need to know what the rules are. In our world, the therapeutic world, insurance pays or doesn't pay based upon what condition somebody has. And that condition can or cannot follow you for the rest of your life, and it can be useful or not useful in treatment for you. So sometimes we're really afraid of labels, because, oh my God, I now have that stigma. But the label is also incredibly useful when applied correctly, and that's an important term, applied correctly, because it gives the therapist or the professional, mental health professional, an understanding, oh, here's what's going on, and here's a protocol that might be useful to treat it. And there's a number of protocols, for instance, to treat PTSD. Meditation's one of them, exposure therapy, CBT. There's a many different types of techniques, and we can go through all those. But, you know, it's an important thing to understand what's really going on. So PTSD is a number of different things. First thing is it's an exposure to an actual or threatened death, serious injury, sexual violence, in one of these following ways. For instance, directly experiencing a traumatic event, witnessing in person the events as they occur to others, learning that traumatic events occur to a close family member or close friend in cases of actual or threatened death of a family member or friend, the events must have been violent or accidental. Experience repeated or extreme exposure to adverse details of traumatic events. First responders, for example, often have this. Police officers often have that they're not maybe didn't have the event themselves, but they're witnessing somebody else having them. It's also presence of intrusive symptoms that are associated with these events. So recurrent, involuntary, and intrusive, distressing memories of these events. Recurrent distress, distressing dreams in which the content and or effect of the dream are related to the event. Dissociative reactions, which are kind of like flashbacks or separation of the mind and the body. Individual feels or acts as if the traumatic events were reoccurring, even though they're not. The classic example is for a veteran from Vietnam War, when they used to have cars that backfired. A car would backfire, and the veteran would hit the ground. They'd jump to the ground instantly before they even thought about it, even though they're sitting in their nice suburban home with nothing going on. So you're reliving these events. There's an intense or prolonged psychological distress, exposure to internal or external cues that symbolize or resemble the traumatic event, marked psychological reactions or internal or external cues symbolizing or resembling these traumatic events. Again, you're not having all of these. You're having some of these characteristics. And when you're with somebody who can properly diagnose you, it's important to deal with this. And last couple ones, persistent or avoidant stress associated with these events. So you're having memories, your avoidance of memories. You're having negative reactions in your thoughts and moods. And you might be having an inability to remember an important aspect of the traumatic event, which is often happens. You might be what's known as hypervigilant, ready for action at all times. You might be have irritable behavior and anger outburst. Anyways, all right, Rob's moving me along here, and we'll talk more about this later. But I just want to give a flavor of some of this experience that people might be going through. And what's important about this is, if you've experienced some of this, or you want to support somebody who's experienced some major stressors in their life, it's important to kind of look at not only what's really occurred, but what is the best way to look at what's going on with them. That they're not going crazy, that they're what's known as their deep limbic system's kind of shoved into fight or flight, which we've all heard about. So it's like, I'm either going to run away or I'm going to attack. That fight or flight is actually really useful. You know, if there's a tiger in the room, you got to be ready to run. You know, if somebody's shooting at you, you need to be able to act quickly. If somebody's about to attack you, you need to be able to be aware of that and go for that. The problem is that once we're no longer in that situation, where nobody is attacking you, where there is no tiger in the room. So everybody who thinks there's a tiger in the room, look around right now. Is there a tiger in there? I don't see anyone in here. And so you kind of got to go, your brain is running away with itself, and how do I bring it back under control? What's so amazing about this particular tool, this transcendental meditation, is that it's a natural way for people to come back to their nervous system. Their brain chemistry can alter and reshift and take them out of that fight or flight mode so that they can come back to some sense of peace. And then they could actually deal with what's going on. David, is there another way that you describe what I'm saying?
No, I think you've done perfectly, and I think the best way to describe it is to show what the research is at this point.
You okay?
I'll review the research briefly, and then we didn't cue this up, but there's a beautiful 3-minute video of a lady of a Congolese refugee whose name is Esperance Ndozi speaking for a minute before she learned transcendental meditation on her unbelievably horrible experiences, and then just 1 week later, after she started getting this type of deep inner rest, deep inner peace, how much transformation happened when that fight-or-flight reaction switch was turned off.
And that's really the amazing thing. By the way, you are listening to KRUU FM 100.1, And you could reach us anytime on the internet at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com. You could email us. And archives of all these shows are up. And if they're not, they will be soon. So please listen and please participate.
David, you mentioned earlier that your estimates were 100 million Africans are experiencing PTSD. What kind of mental health professionals are available in Africa, and how are you filling that gap?
Yeah, that's an extremely important question. Estimates are that in South Africa, where there's more mental health professionals and more resources than almost any country in Africa, only 1 in 4 people with mental health problems gets treated.
Only 1 in 4?
Right. And in Uganda, 1 in 9 or 1 in 10.
Oh, my God.
So when we come in with a program, let me first explain what Transcendental Meditation does. But we come in with a very effective program that there aren't mental health professionals around, and Transcendental Meditation in meta-analysis is shown to be significantly more effective than the other meditation and mental techniques on the market. So we come up basically with a situation where there's no one really around to help, and we've got a very effective means that's cost-effective. That's why we're so dedicated to helping with this massive problem.
Well, why not do mindfulness or some other meditation technique?
We have done a meta-analysis on mindfulness, and we found that TM is much, much more effective at reducing PTSD. That's a very simple answer.
Okay. And that's clinically, by the way, what I've found, which is why I'm a proponent, because when I've seen a number of people, veterans with a really traumatic brain injuries, really severe traumatic brain injuries, on top of the PTSD, that we've tried every other technique, every other medication, every other thing under the sun. And doing the transcendental meditation technique really gave us access to do the rest of the therapeutic work. And I really think of it as a larger package to really create an implementation for change. But you've got to be able to switch off that signal so that somebody can come in. So, David, so tell me, finish what you were saying. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. It's a very, very important. Your experience as a clinician is attesting to what we found with the research. What we did is we had two groups that were equal, very high levels of PTSD. One group we did, they were the control group. They just lived their lives. It's a Congolese refugees who've been through severe traumas. The TM group, we tested everyone again at 30 days, and the control group had no change. The TM group, we were shocked. We were absolutely surprised that 90% of them were below the non-symptomatic level in 30 days. So at that point, I said, we've got a huge, I didn't know the number of people with PTSD. I said, there are millions of people with PTSD. We've got to help them. So at that point, we founded African PTSD Relief. Hmm. And again, the website is www.ptsdreliefnow.org. You can get all kinds of research summaries and videos of victims speaking and so forth. So, and we tested again at 135 days, and we found that the control group had gone up a tiny amount in their level of PTSD, and the TM group went down slightly. So they were below the non-symptomatic level, and they went further down. Below non-symptomatic doesn't mean there are no symptoms. It means it's not enough to be considered post-traumatic stress disorder. Everyone has some sleep disorder, some trouble sleeping, some trouble this or that, but it wasn't enough for them to have PTSD.
And at which point you could really deal with the secondary symptoms as they come up, such as stress in the family and secondary trauma of the family members to the person who's been traumatized, which we'll talk about secondary trauma at a later stage. But there's a way to actually start now treating the entire system from the other stress reactions on down the road. But once we need things to calm down, it's kind of like to treat the alcoholic, we need the alcohol to stop enough so that we can treat enough of what else is going on. But okay, go on.
Hey, David, how are you delivering the TM there, and who's doing it? What actual people?
This is a very, very beautiful question. We have formed a 501c3, and there are a number of top business leaders, a number of international administrators that I mentioned before of the TM movement, who have years of experience managing programs, businessmen, successful business people, scientists. We have a team of scientists who's doing ongoing research. So it's a large growing organization in our 501c3. In Africa, the TM movement itself is designed so that each country has a director, and a number of the countries have very strong, very experienced TM teachers managing them. So we give presentations to the areas where there's likely PTSD, and it turns out that, as I said, not just in warring countries. In many, many areas where there's violence or sexual abuse, there's a large groups that need support. So we work with the national directors and the national organizations, and we try to provide this approach in schools or in large organizations like military and so forth, because that gives a good routine. There's a routine for people to do this technique regularly, and that regularity allows the person and in the group to be sure they're practicing regularly and get the full benefits.
David, we only have like a couple minutes left. One other question. Who are the actual, are you training trainers there or bringing trainers in from someplace else, or who are the trainers?
Well, the trainers are in the TM organization itself, and
right.
In every organization that we teach in, part of the protocol is to make the organization itself self-sufficient so they can... We train a certain number of faculty in a school, a certain number of military. We would train the mental health professionals or the leaders in that organization. The best we can, we want the Africans to run their own organization. As needed, we may send in some people from the United States or from around the world, but the ideal is that each country and each organization becomes self-sufficient.
Okay.
And so you're just trying to make a difference in what is essentially a huge epidemic that's not being treated. And again, just so people know, we're proponents of this technique, not because we're here in Fairfield, not because we might utilize this technique, but simply because of its effectiveness that I've seen in the research as well as clinically have seen, especially in comparison to other techniques and other modalities, which we'll get into in further episodes. And what I think is amazing is the work that you're trying to do for such a huge issue. It really has to be tackled from not just an individual perspective, but from an organizational reorientation of how we're looking at addressing problems.
Yes, and the thing is that for $100 per person, we can teach a year-long program. What's important with the way we're handling the Transcendental Meditation program in Africa is that we have a four-month program where every single week there's a careful follow-up for an hour or 2 hours, so that the person has plenty of time to make sure they're practicing the technique properly and getting the benefits, and so they can easily transition out of the PTSD state. In a guided fashion.
Can you give your website one more time? We got to close out here, unfortunately, and we're going to be doing more of these, a whole series of episodes. But please give your website again and tell people how they could become involved. We only got a minute, less than a few seconds.
Good. So it's www.ptsdreliefnow.org, www.ptsdreliefnow.org. Go there, see the site. You can email us if you'd like to participate in any way.
Thank you, David, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week. Have a great day. Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, David.